This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pet owners, brace yourselves. If you've ever caught your dog doing something, let's say, less than dignified in the backyard, like eating poo, you're not alone. But why do our canine companions do this? Today we're getting the scientific lowdown from Mia Cobb, research fellow at the Animal Welfare Science Centre at the University of Melbourne, who's been tackling this stomach-churning yet fascinating question. Mia, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hello. I'm really happy to bring you the scoop on poop.
That's an interesting way to be happy about talking about this topic, but we're going to find out lots of information, I'm sure. Let's start with the basics. Why do some dogs eat poo? And what's the science telling us?
Yeah, so it's a really common behaviour. If anyone listening has had this with a dog that they've lived with, we know that around half of dogs will try eating poo at some stage, whether it's their own or another dog's or another animal's. And the research tells us about 1 in 4 dogs make it a regular habit. So it's really common. It often starts when they're young. So it's a normal behaviour for wild dogs and also modern dogs to clean their puppy's poo away in the first 2 weeks of life. And puppies can see that and learn. But we know there's other things that can contribute. So sometimes there might be an underlying health issue. And it doesn't seem to be related to age or diet. But if your dog is doing it and it keeps doing it, it could be worth getting a vet check just to make sure there's not some underlying health issue. But things like having been punished in toilet training or living conditions that aren't providing enough to do, like kennel facilities, for example, and psychological distress, and when our dogs are anxious, they've all been linked to dogs eating their own poo. So sometimes it's just a learned behaviour, and sometimes there can be more underlying the reasons why they do it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, I mean, I don't have a dog now, but I grew up with, you know, I had a little Jack Russell as I was growing up and a Border Collie cross, and both of them at some stage I remember eating their own feces and also eating each other's. Like, is that also a normal thing for them to eat each other's?
Yeah, if they get into the habit of it, I've seen dogs like right at the point of distribution, shall we say, getting in there. So some of them become very committed recyclers, which makes for awful burps and can upset their tummies as well. So it can lead to them having like a gastro upset and having diarrhea. So it can be a compounding issue. And obviously it can put a bit of a strain on our relationships with dogs as well. So, you know, it's pretty disgusting to see it happen. And, you know, it just is a good reminder, I think, that dogs can pass on parasites and bacteria through licking us, regardless of whether or not they eat poo. So it can be a good reminder to keep up your hygiene, wash your hands or face after that kind of attention from them too.
Yes. Well, I'll have to remind my sister of that because she often likes to get, you know, little kisses from the dog. So you mentioned in your article, because we talked about how this has had some like environmental factors that or upbringing factors that might be at play with dogs. But you also mentioned in your article that it has some evolutionary roots. Can you explain what that means?
Yeah, so it is a really, I guess when we look at wild canids, so foxes and wolves, it is normal that, you know, the mothers eat their puppy stools to keep those dens nice and clean. And the basis behind that, we think, is partly to reduce smells that might attract predators that would threaten their young. But also the more recent research has suggested that it reduces the chances of intestinal parasites being spread by removing those feces before things hatch and are able to then be eaten by puppies. And so that offers a benefit to them in the wild in terms of reducing parasite burden and making them healthier.
Okay, that's fascinating. Yeah, thank you. If you just tuned in, we're chatting with canine scientist Dr. Mia Cobb from the University of Melbourne, finding out why some dogs have, shall we say, questionable culinary habits. I know there's a lot of myths around, you know, I mean, you talked about this before. Is there any sort of, you talked about the possible, is there a nutritional deficiency or boredom that's also a contributing factor to this?
Definitely, we know that when dogs are in sterile environments, so living in a kennel facility or in a shelter, for example, so when they're a bit stressed as well, and there's not a lot else to do, this kind of behaviour is more likely to happen. So things, if this is happening for someone who's listening at home and they, you know, want to take, you know, a proactive approach to trying to reduce it, I'd say the top things to do are obviously pick up the poo as quickly as you can, so that it's not left lying around, and also offering the dog lots of other things to do. So lots of regular exercise, making sure they're getting social connection with people and other dogs if that's what they like, offering them other toys and safe chews so that it's not like the only thing left lying around to interact with is their poo. And as I said, if it is ongoing, then, you know, a trip to the vet just to check there's no underlying health issues as well.
Yeah.
At the moment, we're not seeing any link to diet. So a lot of people might say, oh, it's because you're not feeding good food. But there doesn't seem to be any link that we've seen in the science to diet.
Yeah, because that is that's a misconception, actually, that I've just learned about now. Because, yeah, often, like when I was growing up, hearing my, you know, my mother would say things like, oh, you know, they're eating it because they're lacking something. So she would often serve up, you know, extra vegetables or mix it in with the dog food because it's some sort of nutritional aspect she thought was lacking. But you've cleared that up. That's actually not the case necessarily.
Well, it could be some sort of health issue driving that need rather than a dietary deficit is what I'd say. Yep. So she may not be wrong, just a slightly different framing on how she's right.
Yeah. So, you know, take your advice, go to the vet if this is something that, you know, is constantly happening when all the other factors have been ruled out.
Yeah, and definitely rewarding the dogs for toileting in the right place. And cleaning up quickly, they're kind of the surefire ways to help create better behaviours.
Absolutely. In your research, or in your work, I should ask, you know, have you come across any particular surprising or funny cases in relation to this topic?
Look, there's some sectors of working dogs where this can become quite a common behaviour that you might not think of when you're thinking of, like, working dogs with angelic reputations. Mm. I'm not going to say more than that because I don't want to get anyone in strife.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I've certainly seen some of our high-tier working dogs engaging in this behaviour.
Okay, we'll leave that one there. where can we go to learn more about animal behaviour science, like through your own work or other places?
Yeah, so I write regularly on The Conversation, so that's probably a good place for people to go check it out. And this article came out last week. It's had nearly 100,000 views, so this is obviously a really hot topic.
Yeah.
It's set a personal best for me on that site.
Well, congratulations. It's a great topic. You know, when I first saw this, I'm like, oh, this is a little going down the gutter. But it is actually fascinating, and I think it's cleared up a lot for me and our listeners around some of the misconceptions we've had. But, sorry, you were talking about your articles on The Conversation.
I mean, that's a great place to get evidence-based information. More broadly, I guess there are some great books out if people are interested in understanding their dogs better. There's a great little one that looks like a little desktop book. It's called Doggy Language by Lily Chin, and it's got some excellent cartoon-style drawings that's super informative if you want to understand dog behaviour better.
Excellent. Well, we'll definitely have to check those materials out, particularly that book you recommended. That sounds like something we could even share with our kids.
It is. It's appropriate for all ages. I recommend it to everyone. Anyone who gets a dog for the first time, I get them a copy. It's brilliant.
Great advice. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mia. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us on Joy Drive.
It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Mia Cobb, canine scientist and research fellow at the Animal Welfare Science Centre at the University of Melbourne. If your furry friend has a few, shall we say, quirks, you're not alone, and now you know the science behind at least one of them. For more fascinating insights about this topic, check out Mia's recent article at The Conversation.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.